May we be helped to commence our morning service of worship by singing together the hymn number 4. Hymn number 4, to the tune Solomon 930. Keep silence, all the created things, and wait your Maker's nod. My soul stands trembling while she sings the honours of her God. In thy fair book of life and grace, O may I find my name recorded in some humble place beneath my Lord the Lamb. Hymn number 4, tune Solomon 930.
My soul stands true. us read together from the Holy Word of God in the book of the Exodus, reading chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speaking unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened with bread, and with bitter herbs shall that they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance for ever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitation shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. When he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? Ye shall say, It is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. But there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, Rise up, and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favour in the sight of the Egyptians, so they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks, and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt, and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, This is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day, that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, by their armies. May the Lord bless his holy word unto us, and help us to approach unto him in prayer. O Lord, as we have read together of thy terrible righteousness, thy anger, thy sovereignty, and yet, Lord, thy mercy and thy grace, it provided for a people, a people who of themselves would have rejected thee, a people that have forgotten thee, settled down in Egypt, that looked for no deliverance, that were satisfied with melons and with cucumbers and with garlics. Lord, thou didst look upon them in the day of thy mercy, and didst bring them forth by thy outstretched arm. Oh, thou didst prepare the way. Thou didst bring them into trouble. Didst bring bondage upon them, that they might be a willing people in the day of thy power. Lord, as we are found before you this morning, reminded of the wonders of thy works. Oh, thou art a wonder-working God. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst help us to rightly come and worship thee, that thou might be had in reverence of all them that fear thee. Oh, that we might truly know, Lord, that spirit that we've opened worship with, that we might keep silent before thee. That we might become in with the psalmist, I was dumb because thou didst it. For who can say unto thee, what doest thou? But Lord, help us to stand amazed and wonder why. Oh, thou didst save sinners, rebellious sinners. Lord, the fullness of thy mercy and thy grace lengthened out to those of us who, oh, we have to prove, despite all our prevarications, despite all our backslidings and our continued sin, yet, Lord, thy mercy lengthened out. Oh, who is a God like unto thee, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of thine heritage, that remembereth their sins and iniquities no more, because thou delightest in mercy. Oh, we plead, Lord, this morning, that as we are found within thy house, we now might know what it is to be lost in wonder, love and praise. Ah, Lord, that those of us that have known, oh, thy mercy, that have no other plea this morning, no other hiding place, no other trust, but Jesus' precious blood. Oh, as we have to come once more and say, why me? Oh, blessed God, why me? Why such a wretch as I? Oh, I must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free. I have to marvel, Lord, at the sovereignty of thy grace, that thou shouldst pass by many righteous, but should come to save sinners from their sin. Oh, we plead, Lord, that we might come truly to worship thee. Oh, for the glory, the wonder, the righteousness of thy sovereign will, the fullness of thy mercy and thy grace. Ah, Lord, that we might truly come to put the crown on the right place this morning on the head of King Jesus, that we might come and truly worship. Draw us away, Lord, from the things of this life. Remind us there is but one thing needful. May our affections be set upon all those things that are above. May we be found seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and proving that everything else shall be added unto us. Lord, we have to confess how earthbound we become even during another week. Lord, how much we need the returning Sabbath to remind us of the one thing needful. Lord, quicken us this morning as our heart cleaves to the dust. Raise our thoughts above the ground and draw our souls to thee. Oh, help us, Lord, to truly come and praise the eternal one in three. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst help us to come to confess our sins. Oh, may we be amongst those, Lord, this day which have to eat of the flesh of Jesus with bitter herbs. Oh, sorrowing and sighing over the sins of another week. Ah, Lord, hating self, loving Christ. Oh, that, Lord, once more we might be found fleeing to the precious blood of Jesus, to seek no other healing but in Jesus' precious blood. Oh, to be turning once more our eyes to that great high priest who stands between in garments dyed in blood, that it might be he instead of us is seen as we approach to God. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst bless the preaching of the word amongst us this day. May it be a Passover day in the soul of one or another this day. A day, Lord, of the passing from death unto life. A day of having to find, fleeing to the shelter of Jesus' precious blood, convincing of sin, leading, oh, to that alone which can save, the blood which was for sinners spilt. Lord, may there be souls awakened into life in this place, even today. And souls, Lord, brought into the liberty and the joy and the peace of the gospel. And souls strengthened in their faith to rest alone upon Jesus. Reminded, oh, they have no other hiding place. To mourn over the fact they leave that hiding place. And to be found turning once more to the stronghold as prisoners of hope. Bless, Lord, thy the ministry of thy word here this day. Give help, Lord, in worshipping thee. Give the heart prepared to receive thy word, the ear open to hear it. Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see Jesus. Give help in the desk. Uphold the deacons here, Lord, and the one to whom so much burden falls, uphold him by thy grace. Lord, give help in every part of worship this day. The little church, Lord, bless them. Remember them for good. Bless thy servant where he's gone forth to labour this day. Lord, we plead thou wouldst remember him and bring him in peace and safety at the end of the day, that he may not fear he spent his strength for naught, nor laboured in vain. Remember, Lord, the absent friends this morning, be with them where they gather. May, Lord, thy word be blessed unto them. And any, Lord, that could be here but won't be, we plead thou wouldst remember them. Oh, sinners afar off, those that may surround this place, sunk in sin this day, no realisation of the danger in which they are found. Oh, may the gospel's joyful sound, enforced by mighty grace, yet waken many sinners round to come and fill this place. Lord, leave us not to unbelief in these things. Ah, Lord, what else? Ah, the same power that caused us to hear thy word. Ah, Lord, that power, able to do exceeding abundantly above what we're even able to ask or think. And thine arm is not shortened that it cannot save, nor thine ear weary that it cannot hear. Oh, have mercy, Lord, yet upon this town. Raise up, Lord, a generation here yet to recall the Redeemer blessed. Bless the children and young people. Be with them, Lord, growing up into life. Be teaching them there is but one thing needful. Be with them, Lord, in time spent away from school. May it be a time of refreshing, a time, Lord, of strengthening. Remember those, Lord, that have exams at this time of year, and give them success such as shall be good for them. But Lord, sanctify all blessings in this life, for what are things in this time? Oh, if we are not found sheltered beneath that precious blood of Jesus. Oh, they must pass away, be burnt up. But grant us, Lord, that this day, that gold well tried in the fire, that treasure laid up in heaven where neither moth nor rust can corrupt. Grant help, Lord, in the preaching of the word. Keep us faithful. Keep us close to thy word. Pour in that there might be that pouring out. Lord, don't leave us to ourselves, to man's wisdom or to man's strength. Oh, we need thy power of thy spirit to rest upon the word. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst draw near and bless the word. Fill this place with thy glory. Keep the door of our lips. Deliver us from speaking any error or leading any of thy people astray, or setting any short down of Christ, or cutting any off without a hope. But help us to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Bless, Lord, the friends at home as they gather round the red word this morning, and give help in the reading of the word. And bless it, Lord, to the good of each soul. Remember thy one true church throughout our land and throughout the world. Bless all thy sent servants wherever they labour this day. Heal, Lord, the breaches in Zion. Oh, have mercy upon thy church. But, Lord, hasten the day when thou wilt return. Oh, may we be found, Lord, hastening toward that day. May we find that echo within our soul even this day, even so. Come, Lord Jesus. We plead that thou wouldst prepare us, Lord, for our end. Remind us we are passing through. Oh, to be ready, Lord, when thou for thine shalt call. Have mercy upon our land, the confusion that abounds, but the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Ah, Lord, may our eyes be fixed this day upon King Jesus. We plead that thou wouldst bless our King, the royal household, our Prime Minister and his government. Lord, that thou wouldst yet have mercy upon us, and bring us to repentance, and wherever thy word is read in our land this day, oh, that it might not return unto thee void. Grant us, Lord, truly thankful hearts for all thy goodness to us. Oh, for thy mercy, Lord, in gathering us together once more, thy house to gather in, thy people to gather with, the preaching of the gospel, thy word in our own language. Lord, this day, the Sabbath day, oh, the day which thou hast made for man, that it might be a means of grace, a blessing unto him. Lord, we plead, oh, that such favours thou wouldst help us to give thee thanks. But, Lord, for a heart inclined to seek the Lord. Oh, if thou hast to this day put a need within our souls, a hunger and thirst after righteousness, oh, that which must go up to the house of the Lord to inquire therein after mercy. Ah, Lord, for such favour, the sovereignty of thy grace. Oh, may we truly, Lord, be lost in wonder, love and praise. Why me? Lord, for the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, for the door of hope set open in the valley of Baker. For the proclamation of peace in the gospel. Lord, we plead, oh, that thou wouldst help us to glorify the name of Jesus. and Lord for thee, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the one eternal God. Oh, is ever the same. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye, the sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Lord, for thy righteousness, thy holiness, thy faithfulness, thy mercy, thy grace, thy love, thy patience lengthened out. Oh, for all that is our glorious God, our hope, and our Redeemer. Oh, we plead, Lord, this morning, that we may behold thy glory, and that of thy grace, in Jesus Christ, may each we receive, and grace for grace. Lord, forgive us of all our sins. Oh, wash us truly from all our iniquities. Take away the love of sinning. Be our Alpha and our Omega. Ah, Lord, what keeping we need. Uphold our goings in thy paths. Keep us from wandering thoughts now. Keep us, Lord, as we're about holy things. Keep us from trusting in self, from resting upon man, from looking to man, vain man, whose breath is in his nostrils. Oh, Lord, may we not think of ourselves more than we ought to think, but may we be nothing. Oh, may self be abased, that Jesus might be all in all. Receive us graciously, love us freely, remember us for good. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, today our evening service is brought forward to an afternoon service to commence at 2:30 p.m. when Mr. Matthew Hyde is again engaged to preach. So there will be no evening service tonight. On Monday, we hold our anniversary service to commence at 6 p.m, at which Mr. Timothy Pocock is engaged to preach. And there will be no weeknight service on Tuesday evening. On Friday, we hold our monthly prayer meeting. Next Lord's Day, Mr. Graham Cottenham is engaged to preach both morning and evening. And the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will be observed, God willing, during the evening service. On Monday the 5th of June, a church meeting has been arranged to commence at 6:30 p.m. The collections and donations for the month in the general fund, £2,105.30, and in the benevolent fund, £40. We would truly acknowledge the Lord's provision for his house and bless his name. And we thank the friends for their willing giving. May we now be helped to sing hymn 61, June Angels Hymn 281. "'Twas fixed in God's eternal mind when his dear sons should mercy find. From everlasting he decreed, when every good should be conveyed. Determined was the manner how eternal favours he'd bestow. Yea, he decreed the very place where he would show triumphant grace. Also the means were fixed upon, through which his sovereign love should run. So, time and place, yea, means and mode, were all determined by our God. Hymn 61, June Angels Hymn 281.
Jesus,
Lord would help me this morning, grant you prayerful attention. I direct you to a text you'll find in the chapter that we read together, the book of Exodus chapter 12, and reading again the 13th verse. Exodus 12 verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. What was the need for the Passover? Why did the Lord give this command that the children of Israel should take a lamb and shed the blood and sprinkle it upon the doorposts of the house? It was because the children of Israel were not where they would be, not where they should be. They were not in the promised land, the land which God had given them, sworn to them by Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. They were found in a place of captivity. They were found in a place of bondage. They were a persecuted people. And the time had come when God was pleased to set them free. But ultimately, friends, we must trace the reason back, for the Passover night is found in this, is sin. Why were the children of Israel in Egypt? Oh, friends, they were in Egypt because of sin and because of the effects of sin. What had brought the children of Israel into the land of Egypt? The enmity between Joseph and his brethren. Or the enmity between Joseph's brethren and Joseph, should I say. Ah, friends, it was that that had brought them into the land of Egypt. Oh, they hated the word of God, the word that the Lord had given unto Joseph, that his brethren should bow down before him, that they should receive him as Lord. And because of that, there was enmity in their hearts. And they sold Joseph into Egypt. Of course, that time of famine came. And Joseph there, having been given that wisdom of God, provided that in time of famine, oh, there should be provision. And what was it that brought the brethren down to Egypt but famine? And consequently, the children of Israel were found in Egypt. Oh, you know, friends, the whole teaching of the chapter that we've read together, it has that spiritual significance. It sets before us our state by nature. It says before us the deliverance which the Lord makes known in the gospel. And where are we by nature? In Egypt. Why are we in Egypt? Because we've sinned. Oh, friends, why have we sinned? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. And enmity against the Lord Christ. Enmity against Jesus. No, we will not have this man to reign over us. Just as Joseph's brethren sold Joseph into Egypt. Oh, by nature we will not have Jesus. We will not have God's ways. Oh, we've sinned with our parents, Adam and Eve, when they took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, despite the command of God. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die. Oh, friends, what was brought in? Bondage, sin, death, darkness. They were cast out of the garden. But, oh, a promise was given of a way of return. And the fullness of that promise is set before us in glory in our text today, a way made whereby sinners in bondage may be released, whereby Israelites in captivity in Egypt, in a place they should not be, a place that God had not appointed them to be. I do not speak now of God's wisdom in his outworking in providence. Oh, friends, the children of Israel were undoubtedly in Egypt because God had brought them there in his providence. But I'm speaking now about his covenant purposes. Oh, he had promised that land where they should dwell. A land promised to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob. Oh, friends, when we come to consider sin, sin didn't take God by surprise. Oh, the sin of Adam and Eve. Your sin, my sin, if we're a child of God, is bound up in the all things that God has appointed, which are working together for good, to his honour and his glory. Not that God is the author of sin. But oh, as he overrules our sin for his honour and for his glory. Oh, friends, all those appointments, they flow. Oh, from his wise appointments, from his divine providence. But friends, what a mercy if overarching all of our sins, all of our wanderings is that covenant of grace. a covenant ordered in all things and sure, a purpose of grace. Oh, this blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The Israelites were in the land of Egypt. They were captives, bond slaves. They were in darkness because of sin. But God, oh friends, God in his sovereign mercy had appointed a way whereby he should bring them forth. And it's the same way that he's ever had since before the beginning of the world. Oh, without the shedding of blood, no remission of sin. And there we read of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Oh, without the shedding of blood, there will never be any captive set free. And here we read of blood shed for the setting free of the captives, blood shed that the Israelites might be brought out of Egyptian bondage. God's appointment, God's provision. Oh, friends, God had appointed the way. God provided for that way. They needed to be bloodshed. God makes provision, a way of deliverance. He gives a command. They should take of the lamb. Oh, the firstborn lamb. And the lamb that was without blemish, the male of the first year. They should keep it to the 14th day of the month. They should kill it. They should sprinkle the blood upon the doorpost. They should eat the flesh. And when the destroying angel goes through the land, the plague should not be upon them to destroy them, because when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, friends, you know, there in the house, the firstborn, oh, the one that was appointed to death without blood, oh, they had need of that lamb. And yet we are not told that the firstborn is to take the lamb, that the firstborn is to kill the lamb. No, the lamb is taken for them, killed for them. The lamb did not belong to the firstborn. The lamb belonged to the father in the house. Oh, it was the father's lamb. The father was to take the lamb and kill it. And the father was to sprinkle the blood upon the doorpost. What a glorious picture of God's provision for his people. Oh, you know, friends, God says to his people this morning, oh, without the shedding of blood, no remission. But I have provided a lamb. I have shed the blood. I have sprinkled the blood. Oh, friends, this is not the work of the sinner to free themselves. It's the work of God. It's a provision that's been made for them. And how God gloriously makes that provision as he sent his own dear son into this world. Oh, friends, he set him apart. As the lamb here was set apart on the 10th day of the month. Oh, the Father's first elect, behold my servant, in whom I delight, in whom my soul delighted. In whom my soul delighted. Oh, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, his only begotten Son. Oh, friends, our Saviour, the Father's gift, belongs to the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. Oh, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, the Lamb which God has provided. As Abraham saw by faith, God shall provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And God did provide himself a lamb. Oh, the person of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But then, friends, God shed the blood of that lamb. Oh, it was not Pilate that put the Lord of life and glory to death. It was not the rabble crowd that said, crucify him, crucify him. It was not the Roman soldiers as they drove the nails through his hands. Oh, friends, no. The Lord of life and glory. Oh, the Apostle Peter tells us on the day of Pentecost, delivered according to the predetermined counsel of God. Ah, friends, if it had not been the Father's good pleasure to bruise him, then Jesus would never have died. But it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Oh, he has put him to grief. Oh, friends, this is the hand of God. None other than the hand of God. Don't forget that this morning. Oh, the Lamb provided by the Father. The Lamb at the appointed time. Oh, 4 days. The appointed hour came. Oh, Jesus, when he knew Oh, the hour was near when he should depart out of this world, the Father's appointed time, when the Father, should take that lamb and slay it. The lamb which God had provided. The lamb which God was pleased, to bruise, pleased to put to death. Oh, friends, to see in Jesus this morning the Father's provision. Jehovah Jireh, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Oh, God shall provide himself a lamb, and God has provided himself a lamb. And then, friends, the Father takes of the blood and applies it to the doorpost. That when I see the blood, I shall pass over you. Oh, friends, what were the doorposts? They were the place, if we may put it that way, the place of weakness. The place where judgment should enter in, the destroying angel. Oh, when I pass over you, the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Ah, friends, where is it we need the blood applied? Oh, to our account before a broken law. The wages of sin is death. That's where we need the blood applied. Oh, in the account book of God. There in the courts of divine justice. And there, the Father applies the blood. The Father applies the blood. Oh, friends, as Jesus ascended up on high, as he bears into heaven, that precious sacrifice, the shed blood. The Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And the Father, as he takes of that blood and puts it against the account of his people. As a thick cloud blotted out all thy transgressions. Friends, he applies that blood to the doorposts, as it were, of the Lord's people. Our sins blotted out. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Friends, we must never see that blood as simply covering our faults, as though our faults are still there. But no, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I blotted out as a thick cloud all thy transgressions. Friends, that blood, it cancels the sins of the Lord's people. There's no ground for the slaying angel to stop. There's no ground for the Lord to charge. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the Father has applied the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Friends, this is the Father's provision. It's the provision of God in covenant for every Israelite. Every Israelite. We must come to mention that point. Your hymns have been emphasising that point this morning. The sovereignty of God. You know, friends, in this chapter, if you want an example of the sovereignty of God, in the Word of God, truly you find it in this chapter. The separation between the Egyptian and the Israelite. The slaying angel passed through. Friends, where there was the blood, they were passed over. They were spared. There was light, there was joy in their dwellings. But where there was no blood, where the lamb had not been slain, where the lamb had not been provided, the lamb had not been appointed. The blood had not been applied. Friends, there was death. There was death. And the sovereignty of God comes down, of course, as we read at the end of the chapter. The Passover, it was not for the stranger. It was not for those who were uncircumcised. If there were those who came into the hosts of Israel, amongst the Lord's people, and they were circumcised, friends, if their ear was brought to the doorpost, if they sought a place among the Israelites, then, after they were circumcised, they may partake of that Passover. Remember what circumcision is linked to. Friends, it is the outward part of the covenant of grace that's given to Abraham. The inward part, of course, is sealed with the circumcision of the heart. The promise in the seed singular, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The promise of the heavenly Canaan. That is sealed by the circumcision of the heart. But the outward promise that was given to outward Israel. The promise of the land of Canaan. The promise of the seed in the multiple that amongst them should come the line from the line of Judah. The seed singular, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Friends, it was sealed with that outward circumcision, the circumcision of the foreskin. It speaks of the covenant of grace. God separating his people from all the nations of the earth. They were a separated people. Oh, friends, this blood, you see, is given in the covenant of grace. Not to all men. This blood has not been shed for all. The Lord didn't give his Son to die for all the world. Oh, friends, he didn't give him for every man. He gave him for his covenant people. Oh, he gave him for the election of grace. Those who are bound up in the covenant of grace. For them and for them alone. And he's applied that blood. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, the sovereignty of God. Oh, friends, it makes you tremble this morning. Does it make you tremble? Does it make you come in with the hymn that we sang together? Oh, may I find my name recorded in some humble place beneath the Lord the Lamb. Does it make you desire, that you might find an interest in this blood, the shed blood of the Lamb of God? Oh, that you might know that you have a part in that covenant ordered in all things and sure, the covenant of grace. Well, friends, how do we know these things? And that's what I really want to come to this morning. How do we know that we have an interest in that blood? We want to just emphasise this. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. You know, friends, the firstborn in the house couldn't see the blood. They couldn't see the blood. But they had to trust that the blood was there. Oh, the blood was on the outside of the house. And this morning, you know, if you're a sinner saved by grace, the blood is in heaven. You cannot see it. Friends, the blood there has been put against your name, but you cannot see it. Your eyes can never pry into that place, just as it is impossible when you're inside the house to see the blood over the lintel outside. What therefore was the consolation of the firstborn? And oh, we must emphasise, friends, you must put yourself for a moment, consider what this meant for the firstborn. The firstborn had heard the news. Oh, that night the slaying angel was to pass through the land of Egypt, where there was no blood. Oh, friends, it meant death to them. They were going to die. God had spoken it. God who does not lie. Oh, friends, there was no way out but the blood. But the blood. How essential that blood. You know, friends, the day is appointed. The Passover night in that sense is appointed to every one of us. Oh, we must die. It is appointed unto men once to die. Once to die. The slaying angel is set, the soul that sinneth it shall die, shall be cut off forever and forever. The blackness of darkness, darker than the darkness of Egypt. And there's only one way that the gospel makes known. Oh, 'tis found in the merits of Jesus alone, in his shed blood. Oh, friends, if you're convinced today of the blackness of darkness, if you're convinced, the soul that sinneth it shall die. After that, the judgment. Oh, will it not make you concerned that the blood this day might be against your name in heaven? Just as the firstborn. Oh, that blood should be upon the doorpost. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, friends, these were urgent things. It was death. It was death. Without the blood, they would die. Without the blood, they would die. And oh, friends, without Christ, you will die too. Do not think this morning death is but a moment. Oh, this world does everything it possibly can to minimise death. Death is a blackness of darkness forever. Oh, friends, death is that place where the worm dieth not, where the fire is not quenched forever and forever and forever. Oh, there's only one way of escape. When I see the blood, I shall pass over you. Oh, friends, how important that the blood was upon the doorpost. The alternative was death. Oh, do you know anything of that urgency in your soul this morning? Oh, you need the blood. You need to know that blood this morning is speaking for you in heaven's high court above. Oh, that from the curse it set you free. Ah, nothing but Jesus' precious blood. Oh, is there one here this morning that feels their need of that blood? One that's seeking after that blood? One that realises, the day is fast approaching when the slaying angel shall pass through. Oh, I need that blood. that precious blood. Well, friends, how do we know that that blood is speaking for us in heaven's high courts? How did the firstborn in the house know the blood was upon the lintel? Well, friends, firstly, they knew the blood was upon the lintel because they were to eat of the flesh with those bitter herbs. Oh, when the Father served up the lamb, the roast lamb for them to eat it with bitter herbs, here was the evidence. Oh, the Father had slain the lamb for them, and the Father had put the blood upon the doorpost. Oh, as they chewed that lamb, as they ate that lamb with bitter herbs. Oh, friends, it was not a meal to be forgotten. Oh, every morsel of that lamb they partook of, it spoke of this. The blood is upon the doorpost. Oh, it communicated this comfort. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, friends, what is that lamb and what is that bitter herbs? Well, firstly, the lamb is the one that shed the blood. Oh, friends, it's the one to whom the blood belongs that's upon the doorpost. Oh, the lamb sets before us the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. It sets before us Jesus Christ. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ can set us free from sin. Oh, but that blood shed, how? His body broken. And he says, except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, ye have no life in you. Oh, friends, except we are made partakers of that flesh, except he take of his flesh and give it unto us. And oh, friends, how blessedly he did it in the upper room. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Oh, this is a cup of the New Testament in my blood. Oh, the blood that was shed for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it. Oh, friends, the two cannot be separated. Wherever we are made a partaker of the flesh of Jesus Christ is an evidence. That blood is speaking for us in heaven. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What is it to partake of the flesh of Jesus Christ? Well, firstly, friends, it's to find Jesus Christ to be your all in all. To find him to be that which comforts you, that which is sweet unto you. Oh, friends, that which you need. You see, the eldest son needed that lamb slain. The eldest son needed the blood upon the doorpost. Oh, friends, this morning, do you need Jesus? Have you been convinced of your need of him? Is it Jesus only? Oh, can you come in with Joseph Hart? None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. I need thee, precious Jesus. Why? Oh, because I am full of sin. Oh, friends, is Jesus the one thing needful this morning? Is he the one thing you must have? You see, that's the evidence that the blood is upon the doorpost. The eldest son, he felt his need of this blood upon the doorpost. He felt his need of that blood. And therefore he rejoiced in the partaking of that lamb. Oh, friends, have you rejoiced in Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, who has died to save sinners from their sins. Oh, friends, have you ever seen any preciousness in Jesus Christ? Can you come in measure with the hymn writer, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Oh, you see, friends, the Lord's people do at times lose sight of the fact of the Passover night. They settle down. The children of Israel in Egypt, they did settle down. Oh, the land of Goshen was a very comfortable place. They had great flocks, great herds. The Lord greatly prospered them and they became hardened under it. Oh, they forgot the need that they needed to be brought out of Egypt. They forgot the promised land. Oh, but every remembrance, death. Every remembrance of the slain angel. Oh, how it brings again the need of the Lamb. Ah, friends, have you ever felt your need of Jesus? Have you ever felt your need of his shed blood? Have you ever had to look for Jesus? Have you ever had to seek him? Oh, but can I come a bit further? Have you ever found him? Have you ever found him? Oh, has Jesus been made precious to you as you've partaken of him? Oh, friends, has he fed you? Has he satisfied you? Has you been able to sit down, to rest upon him, upon the fact that it's his blood that has been shed for you? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, friends, if that blood is speaking for you in heaven this morning, I'm certain of this. You'll have felt your need of Jesus. Jesus will be precious to you. He will be the one thing needful. The sense of it may ebb and flow, but oh, friends, it will keep bubbling up. He'll keep having to come back to it. Ah, you'll need him. And he will be more precious than anything else upon this earth, because it's his blood only. His blood only, of which we read here, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. But then, friends, that flesh was to be eaten with bitter herbs. That flesh was to be eaten with bitter herbs. And I do not think those herbs set before us the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, as some have maintained. The herbs made no difference to the lamb. Oh, friends, the lamb was dead. The lamb was dead. The herbs, oh, they have application to the one that eats the flesh. Oh, friends, it was the one that eats the flesh that found the herbs to be bitter. I'm not minimising for a moment the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're simply coming to try and open the type and what it sets before us. Oh, the flesh was to be eaten by the eater with bitter herbs. Oh, friends, what do those bitter herbs speak of? Godly sorrow over sin. Repentance. Repentance. Oh, you see, friends, do you not think the firstborn, as it came to that pass overnight, was brought to a realisation? Well, why? Why has death come upon us? Why has destruction come upon us? Why is this threat hanging over me this evening? Oh, friends, why? Because of sin. Because of sin. Oh, you know those for whom that blood speaks in heaven. Those who are sheltered beneath that blood, they're brought to a sense of their sin. Ah, friends, they have to come to realise, yes, it was the crimes that they had done. The Lord of glory was put to shame. Oh, what a realisation that is. For my sin, for your sin. The Father has been pleased to bruise his only begotten Son. Ah, friends, for our sin. That it pleased him to send his own dear Son into this world to suffer and to bleed and to die for sinners. Ah, you know, friends, if you've got a part in that blood, it will make sin a bitter thing. The Lord's people don't cease from sin. Oh, friends, we don't become totally holy. But we mourn over our sin. We hate sin. And we hate ourselves as sinners. Oh, we're found saying with the Apostle Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? Oh, friends, it's bitter herbs. And when is it that it's most bitter? When we're brought to see a bleeding Jesus. When Jesus is precious. Oh, friends, it's a sight of Jesus that makes old nature, that makes our sin so bitter. Oh, that makes our mourning so great, that causes our tears to flow. Oh, cry for crimes that we have done. Yes, the soldier pierced his sight is true, but I, oh, wretched I have pierced him through and through. Oh, friends, have you ever known anything of that sorrow? Anything of that godly repentance over sin? Mourning over yourself? A seeking after Jesus? You know, friends, those two things, they go together. Faith and repentance. They're twins. They're always found together. Oh, we cannot be found trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ without this knowledge of ourselves as a sinner, without a sense of repentance within our soul. And oh, wherever the Lord gives repentance, I believe he also gives faith. A feasting upon Christ, a resting upon Christ. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, friends, there is the evidence. The blood upon the doorpost. We want to continue with two other things, just briefly. Oh, friends, the leaven was to be put out of the house. The leaven was to be put out of the house. Oh, Paul tells us Oh, purge out the old leaven. Oh, let us keep the feast for Christ. Our Passover is spoken of us. What is sacrificed for us? What is Paul speaking of? He's speaking of sin. Oh, friends, I've said the Lord's people don't cease from sin. But you know, if we've got a part in that blood sprinkled, oh, that blood applied to the doorpost in glory above. Oh, friends, it will make us flee from sin. It will make us flee from sin. It will make a change. It will make a change. Oh, you see, friends, this blood separates. It separates from the Egyptians. It separates from the world. Oh, you know, friends, our blood isn't speaking for you in heaven today if you've never known anything of grace separating you. Separating you from this world. Oh, making you realise that this world has nothing for you. It's empty. Not your rest. Oh, friends, not your home. If it hasn't brought you out of the world, made you hate the ways of sin, made you seek after, oh, the ways of Christ, and made you seek after Jesus. Oh, you see, friends, this Passover is separated. And it didn't only separate by death. Ah, friends, it wasn't only separation at the night when the angel passed through. You see, there will be that final separation in the day of judgment. Oh, what a solemn separation it will be when the Lord will part the sheep from the goats. But this separation happens here and now. Oh, friends, there was already separation. Separation on the grounds of leaven. The children of Egypt, the Egyptians. Ah, friends, their houses were stuffed with leaven. They were enjoying their leavened bread. But in the house of the Israelites, oh, the leaven had to be put out. Sin has to be put away. Oh, you know, friends, those who have a part in this blood, you see, the blood upon the doorpost. Sin is put away. Oh, we're no longer servants of sin. Oh, we're delivered. We're no longer under the law. We're under grace. The Lord's people know the effect of that within their soul. Oh, friends, I say, it's not that we cease from sin. The Apostle Paul didn't cease from sin. And neither will you ever put sin away in that sense, in all its entirety. But oh, friends, you'll no longer rejoice in sin, you'll hate sin. You'll desire to flee from it. Oh, you will seek after holiness. And the final thing we wanted to mention is this. Oh, friends, they were packed up. They're ready to go. The Lord told them He'd bring them out by haste. Oh, you know, friends, where this blood is applied, oh, it makes the Lord's people ready to depart, in measure. Oh, we are only given dying grace in a dying hour. But you know, when that knowledge is brought into your souls, oh, that blood is speaking for you in heaven. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, friends, what does it communicate with that glorious truth? I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. Oh, a kingdom and a crown. Oh, you see, friends, the children of Israel, the firstborn, had the promised land to look forward to. The promised land to look forward to. They were packed up. The bread, the unleavened bread, was in the troughs, ready to depart. Oh, friends, is there anything of that readiness in your soul? Oh, readiness which may be described by the hymn writer, weary of earth, myself and sin. Dear Jesus, set me free, and to thyself come take me in, for there I long to be. Oh, friends, ever a wistful longing, ever an expectation. Ah, that when you're done with this weary wilderness below, heaven awaits you. Why? Because when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, friends, this morning, can you trace out any evidence that blood has been placed upon the lintel by the Father in heaven above for you? Oh, like a thick cloud, He's blotted out your transgressions. That blood is speaking for you even today in heaven's high court above. And from the curse has set you free. Oh, Jesus' precious blood. Because, oh, Christ is precious. Sin has become bitter. Oh, the separation known in your life and in your experience. And there's an expectation beyond this world. Oh, you seek a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. We want to just emphasise this, friends. You know, oh, the children of Israel, they were not saved by eating the flesh. They were not saved by eating the bitter herbs. Ah, friends, they were not saved by purging out the leaven, and they were not saved by being ready to depart from the land of promise. They were saved by one thing. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, friends, all of those things, they were the Lord's will for them. They willingly walked in them, and they were precious tokens and evidences to the eldest son. The blood was upon the doorpost, but their salvation was alone. Oh, in the sight of God, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, dear child of God, be comforted by that this morning. If your evidences are dark, oh, if there does not appear to be any flesh upon the table today, oh, friends, if there does not appear to be much bitter herbs, oh, if you're found in a low place, all your evidence is dark, oh, friends, cleave into the dust, heaven seems afar off. Oh, you know, you're not saved by your frames. You're not saved by your present experience. This alone is salvation. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And oh, friends, that blood, shed, that blood applied by God in the court of heaven above, it can never fade away, can never be taken away. Your salvation stands as secure this morning as it ever has and ever will do. And your salvation rests upon this. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's God that justifies. Oh, who can condemn? Christ has died. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? No, the apostle was persuaded of this, and nothing. Oh, friends, not your sin. Not your lack of evidence this morning. Oh, friends, not your hardness of heart. Not your earthboundness. Nothing. Present or to come can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, you see, friends, this is where your hope must be set this morning. Not upon how you feel, not upon the flesh that you eat, not upon the bitter herbs, but alone upon the blood which God is looking upon this morning. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, you see, friends, we settle down too much upon our frames and feelings. But the eldest son could not settle upon the flesh. Oh, he would speak reverently, friends. It did not happen. It did not happen. But you know, the eldest son could have sat there eating the flesh. The father could have forgotten to put the blood upon the doorpost. Oh, friends, it was the blood alone upon the doorpost. And that's the only way of salvation this morning, and the only thing that will save you. The blood of Jesus applied by the hand of the Father. But in His mercy and in His grace, oh, He's pleased from time to time to spread the gospel table. Oh, to give us Jesus Christ to feast upon. Oh, from time to time, friends, that it might be daily, He convinces us of sin, makes sin a bitter thing, makes us loathe sin, makes us flee once more to Christ, daily I repent of sin, daily washing Calvary's blood. Oh, friends, in experience He makes us weary of this world. He makes us look heavenward. Oh, in experience He makes us feel painfully at times our separation. Oh, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you. And oh, friends, how comforting that experience is as it all confirms this. Ah, that blood is speaking for us in heaven, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The Father's provision for His people only. Oh, that precious evidence given to every one of the Lord's people. Oh, friends, the blood applied. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, we want to come to this, friends. This is the only way of salvation. The only way. There was no other way. Oh, in that night, when the slain angel passed through Israel, there was no other way of salvation, no other way of deliverance from death. Without this blood, death. With this blood, life. Oh, friends, it's as simple as that this morning. With this blood, life. Without it, death. Oh, you know, it's the same when it comes to the matters of your soul and eternity. Oh, friends, there's only one thing which separates, you know, the sheep and the goats on the last day of judgment. It's not their good works. It's not what they've done. Oh, friend, it's not that some are more righteous than others. It's not that some are worse sinners than others. No, it's this blood. And this blood alone, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, friends, there's only one way to be delivered from death. Death under which all are consigned this morning by sin. Oh, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. None righteous, no, not one. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's only one way of salvation. Oh, as Jesus says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth and the life. Ah, friends, there's only one way, through this shed blood. Oh, is Jesus' blood this morning your only plea? Is he your great forerunner there? Oh, as the hymn writer says, how stands the case, my soul with thee, for heaven are thy credentials clear. Oh, have you got a plea in that hour of death? Have you got a hope? Oh, that when that hour should come to you, oh, you should find that blood speaking for you. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Is Jesus' blood thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Oh, you see, friends, if there are any that would have put their trust in this night, not in the blood, but perhaps, friends, they got their spears, perhaps they got their shields. Oh, they thought they could deflect this destroying angel. They thought they were stronger than him. Oh, you know, friends, there are many that put their trust in their own strength. You young people, are you putting your trust in your own strength this morning? You think, death is a long way off. I'm strong, I'm young. Oh, there's no need to worry about the slaying angel passing through my land yet. Oh, friends, there's only one way. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. You know, this word has been on my mind now for over a week, and I'll tell you why it's been on my mind. Because a young minister in Scotland who was found in a very similar place to myself when I was diagnosed with cancer a few years ago. Oh, two young children, just started a pastorate, his first pastorate, and diagnosed with a brain tumour. And he wrote to me from his hospital bed a week ago last Wednesday as he was due surgery on Thursday morning. And I'll read you what he wrote. He said, I write you as I sit on my hospital bed prior to surgery tomorrow, realising that it is all in the Lord's hands. At such a time, all that matters is to be prepared for whatever His will may be. I am thankful that I believe all my hope and confidence is placed on Him alone. A truth that has been very precious to me since diagnosis is, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. His blood is a very safe refuge. I don't believe the Lord put such a hope to shame. Oh, you know, friends, that dear man had surgery the next morning. He never regained consciousness. And he passed into glory, I believe, on Thursday evening. Why? Because when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, friends, think and tremble. Death is now upon the road. Ah, friends, it comes to the young as well as to the old. And there's only one way. Only one way. Only one deliverance from death. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, friends, a few weeks ago that man was healthy. No evidence of death. Life before him. He taken. Ah, friends, we know not what a moment or an hour may bring forth. There's only one way. No other way. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No blood, death, darkness, despair forever and forever. Oh, but shelter beneath this blood. Life, joy, peace, the promised land and all the fullness of it, forever and forever. Oh, you see, friends, that was what the children of Israel proved, wasn't it? Oh, the night the angel went through. Oh, in the houses of the Egyptians. Oh, friends, what do we read but of the wailing and gnashing of teeth? Oh, at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Oh, Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, with a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house, not a house, no escape, not a house, where there was not one dead. Oh, but friends, what a difference in the land of Israel. Ah, friends, there was rejoicing, there was peace. Oh, there was praise unto the Lord. As we read, oh, that beautiful Passover psalm, the 118th psalm, that the Jews still sing at the Passover. Oh, the eldest son singing in faith as they partake of the flesh with bitter herbs, as they're ready to depart the land. And what do they sing? I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee. For thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, give thou art my God and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, friends, can you come in there this morning? Because, oh, you have a hope. Ah, friends, I might say we need more than a hope against the hour of death. Have you got a sweet certainty this morning that that blood is speaking for you in heaven's high courts above, and therefore you can say, I shall not die, but live, and declare forever in the courts of Emmanuel's land, the salvation is of the Lord. Then loudest of the crowd I'll sing, while heavens resound in mansions ring with shouts of sovereign grace. Oh, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, friends, it's the only way. It's a certain way. Oh, wherever and through whoever. Oh, every one of the Israelites for whom this blood was shed, every one of them escaped safe out of the land of Egypt. Passed safely through the Red Sea. Ah, baptized unto Moses in the Red Sea. Ah, friends, where this blood is shed, it brings sure salvation. Oh, can you say this morning, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Ah, is that your resting place? Is that your rejoicing this morning? Jesus' precious blood. Oh, friend, are you seeking after this blood? Do you feel your need of it? Oh, seek on, because this is the only place of safety. Oh, ask that the Lord this day would grant you, oh, the broken body of Jesus Christ, to eat his flesh, to know those bitter herbs, to be ready, oh, for the hour when he shall pass through your land, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 63. Hymn 63 to the tune Eventide 140. I just read the last verse which brought me to this hymn. When he reveals the book of life, oh, may I read my name among the chosen of his love, the followers of the Lamb. Hymn 63, June Eventide, 140.
Thank you.
Lord, forgive all that's been amiss in the worship of thy house this morning. Oh, apply thy word unto us with power, Lord. May we be seeking a place under that blood. And oh, may we know this day that we are under that blood, that Jesus might be needful and precious unto us. Part us, Lord, with thy blessing. Be with us in the interval of worship. Prepare us to come up to thy house again this afternoon. Give help, Lord, in preaching, in hearing, in worshipping thee. We'd ask it with the forgiveness of our every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.